It's always a privilege to preach the Word of God anywhere, but I have come to, my wife and I have come to call Bible Baptist Church of Chula Vista our second church. Even though I was the interim pastor at Barstow at Trinity Baptist Church, we consider this that if God gave me the money and led me to go somewhere else to church, we might have to drive back and forth or have a hotel room just for Sunday night and to be here just to be members of the church if we were to choose one. And thank you for allowing me the privilege to come here and your pastor giving up his pulpit to sharing it. I mean, this is one of the places that I've been behind one enough times to know, and I understand how preachers, why they covet and they guard this pulpit. And they should, because you just don't let anybody get up behind this pulpit. Amen. And that your pastor, I'm very thankful to God that he knows me well enough, that he trusts me. Usually pastors will have guest speakers come when either the associate pastor is there or somebody's there. But to turn the service over preaching-wise to somebody and not be there, that's a blessing. So you guys are always special. My wife could not be here because she was sick. I knew that everyone was going to say, "Where's my wife? Where's Vivian?" They all wanted to see her, and she came down sick Friday, and she probably could have been here, but the pressure on her face and her head was just, she'd have been miserable, and she was also concerned about getting everybody sick. So it was out of love that she chose to stay home. And I said, "Well, you guys need to come up with streaming someday, and then she could kind of stream the message online." So if you all would, in honor of the reverence and honor of the Word of God, stand, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. We're going to be in the Christmas story. We were in it this morning for Sunday school. We will be in it again this evening, but there'll be several different things we're going to discuss in each one of them that aren't the same. Luke, chapter 2. Verse 7, we'll begin in 15 to 19. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 7, and then we'll be in 15 to 19. The Word of God says this, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Verse 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying that which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard it, wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that it is infallible, inerrant, and is preserved. It's your message, your love letter to us, to tell us how we should know you, why we need to know you, and how we can please you as your children. Pray that you'd open the hearts of the hearers today, that if there's anybody here that's not saved, they would receive the greatest of all gifts, the Christ child, into their life and be born again. And and all the others, Father, that they would just be closer to you and hide this fleshly sinful man, and that Christ be seen and only that which you want to be preached, spoken. And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. The word pondering. And I made a joke to a couple of people this morning, and you notice that I turned the microphone away from me. I said, they weren't here this morning, and I said, "Hey, you missed it. I actually spoke a little softer and quieter." And they laughed, and his wife said, "Nah, you can't even speak quietly." And I did. I said hello in a very soft voice. I said hello. She was like, "You can." And I said, "Yes, but even my low voice carries further than anybody else's low voice at this level." So it was kind of comical. I told my wife, even when I'm sick, it's a good, you don't want to hear me preach when I'm sick. If I have a sore throat and hoarse voice, how many of you have ever heard a drill instructor in the Marine Corps? That voice that sounds like this, because this is what would come out. So it's a good thing I've never preached when I'm sick. So, but the word pondering, interesting word. People today don't take into account what words mean. We're so intent today on abbreviating things. The young people here will know it. I hate text messaging. I don't refuse to do it. It's just when someone texts me, I'll call them. Hey, well, you could have just texted me back. I said, yeah, I could have, but I wanted to hear your voice and you can hear my voice. Or if I've got something to say that's a little bit more complicated than where if you say it, you could say, did he just, no, I didn't say that. But with your tone and voice and you're using the words, you know, we just can't say JK for just kidding. The first time I saw LOL, I'm like, laugh out loud. I'm like, well, I found out what it was when text messaging first was on its way up. I was like, LOL. So I asked him, I said, are you really laughing out loud or are you just typing it? See, the whole point is, I mean, but when we're here and I say something to you that's funny, you go, my brain already knows that they laughed out loud. See, so it's like, but the words mean something. So the word pondering, the title of this message today, I titled it A Christmas Pondering. A Christmas Pondering. It means to weigh in one's mind. Some of you young people here today don't even know what pondering is. Because things are so fast and so short and so abbreviated, you just think, yeah, did you think about it? Yeah, well, no, they'll give you the answer in a minute. So, no, I told you to think about it. I did. What? You know, you need to ponder things, and you need to think upon or reflect upon or to dwell. Or another biblical word that's used, to meditate. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, thou shalt meditate on it day and night. I dare say that some adults have a hard time now even meditating more. Because technology has taken over so much that we don't even understand what meditating is. The word we might use today that I think is a big word is reminisce. You say that to the younger generation today, they say, what? Reminisce means to think back upon. I don't know about you, but I look at a lot. I don't dwell on the past, but very seldom does a day go by when I'm not reminded upon something, good or bad. Sometimes it's not a bad thing to reminisce about something that was bad, because it kind of keeps you on the straight path. Mary seemed to follow the biblical pattern of remembrance and pondering, for just as Joshua, when he came upon the Jordan River, I like it. He says, hey, I want you, each man of the tribe of the 12 tribes, you grab yourself 12 stones. And I want you from out of the Jordan River. And we're gonna set them up on the other side. And Joshua himself, the Bible says, he built up a stone altar in the middle of the Jordan River. And at that time when it was written, it says that it is there to this day. I would dare say that if you drain the Jordan River, I would not be surprised to see a set of stones that look up to be like an altar. And I wonder if the stones that they set up, because God can do what he wants, he says, but then the ones that they set up on the outside, on the other side of the Jordan. And it says, and Joshua says for purpose of this, he says that when your children and your children's children say to you, what meaneth these stones? Then you can tell them. And tell them what? You can remind them tell them, you're going to remind yourself about the great things that the Lord God of Israel had done. The sad thing that my generation has dropped the ball on, and the generations even before me, and the ones that are just right after me, have failed. Because some people today don't even... You mentioned Jesus Christ to some of the young generation today. Some of them would dare say don't even know who he is. Other than he's a controversial figure in religion. Or the great things that he's done. when people get questioned and about the things of our history, and young people that are in college don't even know when the Declaration of Independence was signed. They don't even know what the 4th of July is all about. And I know that's the first time and probably very few times you'll ever hear me say 4th of July, because I refuse to call it that. It is called by one title. And anybody say that word? Or those two words? It's called what? Independence Day. Think about this. In this modern generation today, it is the only holiday that we do not call it by its name. Hey, what are you going to do on the 4th of July? Hey, what are you doing for the 4th? Happy 4th. But even on your birthday, we don't say, my birthday is July 27th, and nobody has ever come up to me and say, happy 27th of July. They call it what? They call it happy birthday, because that's what it's titled. So why don't we call, why do we do that with Independence Day? If you ever ride in the car with me and hear somebody say, mention that, say, so this 4th of July weekend, I will scream at the radio, Independence Day. My grandchildren have come to where when they hear that on the TV, and they say, so this 4th of July weekend, and they look at me and say, Grandpa, and they say, Independence Day, and they'll say that to the TV. Because why? Because I'm teaching my children something, my grandchildren something, that children today aren't learning. So pondering things, to dwell on, to think about. Psalm 4:4 talks about communing with one's own heart while being still. Young people, I challenge you to be still and do nothing for 15 minutes. Not in church, but go home one day, put your phone down, turn the TV off, just sit and think. I dare say that there are some people that couldn't even do that. What do we think about? What do we think about? Think about whatever you want to think about. Don't you think about the time when you did something, had really good fun? I'll never forget sometimes when I'm from Maine, and we had snowstorm one time that dumped so much snow that we climbed up on top of a two-and-a-half-story barn for the express purpose to jump off into the snow. And I'll never forget, I was like 7 years old. See, I'm 56 and I'm 7 years old. I'm standing on the edge of the building, and the snow is so deep that when I landed in the snow, I went up to my waist. And then when I jumped in the snow and I worked myself out, my boots stayed in the snow. How do I remember? Because I ponder those things. So when we look at on the surface of Mary, she says that she said in verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The things that she thought about, she didn't say out loud. What did she ponder? Well, think about this. I shared with the Sunday school class this morning. Before this time when the angels came to the shepherds, what had they not had from God in over almost 400 plus years? God did not speak to man. Micah was the last prophet that God spoke to and said, write this, and he prophesied the Lord's birth some 400 plus years before it actually happened. And then nothing. God goes silent. No word from God. Israel didn't know anything about this Messiah that was supposed to be born. 400 years. And then the angel comes to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel Gabriel. Now understand this in the Bible, young people and adults. Who's the only angel you will find present at any heralding that is of God? Gabriel. Gabriel is the angel that comes to bring the good news or bad. He says, here it is, bam. Gabriel comes, and he even says that. That's how we know, too. I like it when God makes it real simple. In verse 26, he says, and the angel Gabriel was sent from God. And he said, the angel in verse 28, the angel came under Mary, under her, and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So the first thing she pondered is, that wanted and desired was to be the one that gave birth to the boy child Messiah. Every woman, they prayed. If Hannah prayed for what? She prayed for a man child, a boy. Every woman, it was their desire to have boys because they were in the hopes that they might be the one to have the Messiah. So Mary gets this angelic announcement that she's greeted by this angel, and it says that she, this young woman, this teen, this just a, they're like teens, not very old at all, that she's highly favored among all women. Wow. Ponder that for a minute. If an angel came to you and the Messiah, and you're told that you're the chosen of all people, or whatever the case may be, she's bewildered about. And then it says here in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, or it says here, verse 31, it says, and thou shalt be conceived in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and the kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary, this is where we know her pondering is not, was like really confusing. How shall this be, seeing that I don't know a man? She had never been intimate with a man. There's only one way to have a child. Well, you could do it artificially, but I'm saying that there was no artificial stuff back then. So how shall this be? Angel's bringing this announcement to her that she's trying to ponder this. She was barren. She hadn't even been pregnant. She didn't even know she was. Bewildered about conceiving without knowing a man. It's like the new birth concept. And in verse 34, the spiritual involvement in verse 36, and the angel answers her. He said, this is how it's going to happen, Mary. At least she gets the answers. She asks the question, she gets the answers. The angel said unto her in verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, what shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Wow. If that doesn't, but yet she still is, you don't read here that she was blown away. Because if we see in chapter 2, in that verse 19, she says, and Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I don't know about you, but if I got a message of something, not quite like this, obviously, but if I got some kind of message where an angel is telling me something and all of a sudden things are going to happen in my life, I don't think I could just ponder them in my heart. But Mary did. She pondered the angelic announcement. So here's a personal application for you in regards to pondering. Some of you here may not be able to do this because you're not born again. You've never been saved. And I'm not talking about the date. Some of you know, like my pastor, he has said it so many times, I know. December the 4th, 1964, my pastor got saved. I don't remember the exact date, but I sure remember it was in the basement of a Grange Hall. I could close my eyes and I could ponder being taken downstairs to a quiet place where the deacon, Thurlow Smith, shared with me the gospel. And I got saved. I was born again. That was my new birthday. So ponder that for a minute. The moment, the day that you had the gift of God's grace given to you, the greatest gift of all. The gift of salvation. The gift of having grace applied to your life, which by sheer definition, everything we have today in regards to the Word of God is all because of grace. God didn't have to give us the written Word. Old Testament didn't have that until Moses was led to write it. Prophets just spoke it. We have, the Bible says, a more sure word of prophecy than if an apostle were to come in this very room right now and speak, and you knew it was him, this is a more sure word of prophecy we hold in our hands today, the Bible says. Ponder that for a minute. The new birth, the concept of you and I, wicked, sinful creatures, being born again into the family of God, becoming a child of God. What else did she ponder? She pondered the shared family joy. In chapter 1, verses 42 to 45 of Luke, the Bible reads this way. And she spake out with a loud voice. Well, this is when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. She spake out, she goes to visit Elizabeth, and the Bible says and she spoke to Mary, this is Elizabeth, she spake out loud and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb, or leapt in my womb. Who is the baby that Elizabeth was going to give birth to? John the Baptist. He was going to be the forerunner, the one that was said, you will be the voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. Elizabeth was about ready to give birth. I'm going to say it's like right there. John the Baptist was probably about a year older than Jesus. But the moment that the mother of Jesus, who just found out that she's going to have a child and it's going to be of the Holy Ghost, and she said, Elizabeth, bam, John the Baptist knew. John, think about that. The excitement of Elizabeth. And she said, I love this. She said, and whence is this to me? What is this to me that the mother of my Lord, she already knew what her son was going to be born for, to proclaim your son's coming. So Mary pondered that because she'd already heard this. Elizabeth, how did, you know, wow, I just got told all this and all this and that. She's pondering this. Elizabeth gave me this, wow. Elizabeth says, hey, I'm Mary, highly favored among women, the angels. Elizabeth almost says the same thing, and then she says, she called my son her Lord. Pondering that in her heart. God blessed two women with a family connection unlike any other. The front runner of the Messiah, John the Baptist, and the Son of God himself. Wow. It's like to be that connected. So you think of this, and if you come tonight, I'm going to talk to you tonight about the first Christmas song. Think about that. First Christmas song. I'll give you a hint. It isn't the angels singing heavenly hosts and all that stuff. It's a song that you're not even going to think. I tried to Google. I would love to be able to hear the words put to music of this song. Well, you come tonight, you'll find out about it. And so the personal application of pondering the shared family joy is the joy that comes when God allows me to be a part of someone getting saved and becoming part of my family, the family of God. I'll never forget when Madison, my granddaughter, was born. If she were here, I probably couldn't tell this story because she's 13 now, going on 30, literally, or in her mind anyway. Most kids today, you guys are growing up so fast. Young people, I'm going to tell you, your parents, correct me, and if I'm wrong, please feel free to speak out if you haven't heard this. Do not be in a hurry to grow up. Amen. Have you all heard that? Don't be in a hurry. I did too. Oh, but I couldn't wait to be an adult. Trust me, the day you become one. Oh, dear God, I would love to be a teenager again. Because then you have a whole different slew. You think life is tough now? Wait till you actually have responsibilities. When I was your age, the responsibility was passing or failing a test. or whether Diane, do you like me? I like you. You like me? Check yes or no. Most of the time they check no. Or most of the time I got it back and it didn't say nothing. So ponder the joy that comes. Anyway, Madison, I said, dear God, please, just let me have a part, to be a part of, be there when Madison gets saved. I'll never forget this. Not only was I there, but God allowed me to be the one to share the gospel, and Madison got saved. So it wasn't that God just said, David, I'm going to let you be there, but you're going to be a part of it. So coming down here today, I prayed. To my knowledge, I've never preached where anybody that I've known got saved. And I would love to have that happen someday. But I want, it's all God. So then she pondered in Luke chapter 1, the glory of God. Mary's humility in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 56 is where you read, she has just been told by an angel and told by Elizabeth, her cousin, that she was highly favored among all women. Every woman in that area, and I would dare say every woman in the world, she was highly favored. But we read her humility. That is why I have a problem with any denomination, any, that wants to pray or lift Mary up. It is not the Immaculate Conception. It is the virgin birth. The Immaculate Conception has the idea attached to it that Mary was perfect and that she had a part in salvation and redemption of mankind. Because after all, she gave her son up to die. She did nothing. She was the vessel, and she clearly says this, her humility. So she ponders the glory of God with what she says in light of who she is, in light of who she's going to give birth to. Mary's acknowledgement of her own need for a Savior in verse 47. Verse 47 of chapter 1. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God. What's those next two words? My Savior. Mary tells the entire world, God has the writer Luke tell the entire world that Mary acknowledged she needed to be saved from her sins just like everybody else. It's all about him, verses 48 to 56. All the references in what Mary says, nothing about her except my Savior. Everything else is all my soul doth magnify the Lord. He is lifted. All those things are all God directed. Personal application of pondering this. Note that you see Jesus and his temple statement about being in his Father's business. Mary still didn't quite get it because she runs in and finds Jesus at 12 years old when they thought they had left him behind. And they go, they rush back to the temple and there he is teaching the scholars. And it says, your father and I were worried. And he looks at his own mother and said, I must be about my father's business. She knew then he wasn't talking about Joseph, because Joseph was a carpenter. He was teaching the scholars the word of God. She understood the Savior and the birth and things like that. And I think she might have an idea, but I don't think she fully grasped the death. Not quite yet. I don't think Jesus even understood who he was until he was 12. Because he had to be fed, he hungered, he thirsted. He might have had an idea, but we don't really read about it until he's 12. That's the first time we actually know he says, hey, Mom, Dad, I must be about my Father's business. And it's doing this right here. I must preach and teach salvation and why I came. Personal application there was that Mary pondered. Imagine that. It probably caused her to ponder again. Wait a minute. I remember the angels. He shall save his people from his sin, from their sins. Oh, okay, maybe this is something to do. She's probably pondering again about that.
And then in verse 19 of chapter 1 of Luke, Mary's pondering this. She's pondering Joseph's love. Joseph, when it says to put her away, he wasn't going to divorce his wife, Mary. He just wanted to put it, he wanted to put her away and hide her from public ridicule because he had a wife that was giving birth to a child and she had never been with him. In that day, you adults know that was cause for stoning. It's cause for stoning because it meant you committed adultery. But Joseph got a message. He told Mary about his angel's visit. So she's probably pondering that in verses 20 through 24 because Joseph was going to put her away privately and hide her to keep her from ridicule. He says, fear not. Don't you be afraid to take Mary for your wife because that which is up in her is of the Holy Ghost. He tells her to take him and get up and flee because Herod's going to try to kill the baby. Because Herod gets a visit that says, hey, we have followed this star and we're looking for this one who is born king of the Jews. Herod's going, wait a minute. I'm the king of the Jews. They're my slaves. Who's this king you're talking about? And then he tries to trick the wise men into, hey, go find out where this child is born so that I can worship him. And the faithful obedience of Joseph to obey God. And think about this, how much love I should show God, or you should show God, my wife and my brothers and sisters in Christ, with all my heart, with all my strength, and with all my mind. Colossians 3:14, love for the brethren is the bond of perfectness. People, do you know, if I asked you today, what is the one, if you could only name me one character trait that would tell everybody in this room or in this neighborhood or in this city or in this entire state that you are a child of God? Some of you might, answers may be, well, that I come to church. And that's a good answer. I read my Bible and I pray. I tithe. That's a good one, but that's not the best. It's important. All these things we give up. But you know what Jesus himself said? He told his disciples to love one another. The brothers and sisters, my love for you and your love for me and your love for each other, all brothers and sisters, no matter where they are, the family of God, he says the love for the brethren, for by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Love. Joseph's love for Mary and his devotion and his faithful obedience to God. And people, what is the best way to show, I'll ask you young people here today, what do you think your moms and dads would tell you the best way when you say, I love you, mom and dad? What's the one way that they'll know you love them? Is because you do what for them? You obey them. You've heard the song in the Sunday school. Obedience, obedience is the very best way to show that we believe, to show that I love. The thing is, so guess what? Whenever I disobey God, guess what I'm showing him? That at that moment, I do not love him. Think about that. When you sin and I sin, at that moment, because if we really did love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, we would obey him. I know some of you older folks in here remember growing up that, and I did too. One of the reasons why I didn't get into all, God, thank God, it was God's grace. But I feared my mom and dad. I feared my mom and dad. When my mom got pregnant with me at the age of 15 and a half, had me at the age of 16, she was going to have an abortion. But I had a godly grandmother that said, oh, no, you won't. You will have this child and you made your bed. Her exact words were, you made your bed, you're going to lie in it. Now, today, oh yeah, mom and dad think they can tell me that. I can go anywhere I want as a teenager. They can go anywhere they want. They don't even have to tell you or ask your permission, and they can have an abortion. But back then, oh, you dared not disobey your parents. Because my mom and dad, and here's the thing, they never actually did it. But how many of you older people in here know it says, hey, I brought you into this world, I can sure take you out. Or how many times you heard, I know this, I'll beat you within an inch of your life. Now, I've had some spankings, and every kid, if you ever got spanked, those of you that have gotten or never have been, you wouldn't understand this. Every spanking I got, I thought I was going to die. Because I couldn't sit down for the next 5 minutes. It hurt. But you know how many times I did the same thing again? Nope. That's why the Bible says, spare the rod and you spoil the child. So he pondered in his heart his love, she did. She pondered his presence to God. 8 days later, they take Jesus to the temple and give him to the priest there, the high priest Simeon. And he holds up the baby and he says in Luke chapter 2, it's in Luke chapter 2, he's presented to Simeon and in verse 28, and he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Imagine Mary taking this, giving the child like she's supposed to, presenting him 8 days for to be circumcised. And Simeon, she hears the voice. Basically, he might as well have just said, now let me die in peace, for I've seen your salvation. He wants to go ahead and die now? No, he says, now I can, because he was promised by the Lord that he would not see death until he saw the Christ child. So Mary pondered that. Think of all these things that she's got to ponder. She's pondering the angelic announcement. She's pondering Elizabeth's joy. And she's pondering the glory of God and Joseph's love. Now she hears this high priest in the temple saying, Lord, you can let me, I can now die in peace, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. Wow. Simeon's reaction. And the thing is, folks, I've seen this at my church back home in Victorville. Children that are born, 3 days old, the moment that the mom and dad can have them in church, that's where they ought to be. The first time that Jesus could be taken to the temple, Mary and Joseph had him in church. They were obedient to have their child in church. And the lastly thing she pondered is, she pondered the visit of three shepherds. She probably didn't expect any visitors. After all, they didn't have enough room at the inn to give birth. You think instead they put them out in a stable or in a building outside of the inn. And he laid in a cattle trough with hay. So she figured she might not have anybody. And then if she did, she probably didn't expect shepherds. And then they came and gave him this announcement, the special, unexpected visits through one's life. Ponder that. The people that God allows to come into your life, that you just think, I had no, but how God brings and orchestrates the uniting of two people for an express purpose, whether it be to share the gospel, whether it be to help out in a time of need, whether it be, whatever the case may be. How many times have you said, boy, that was an unexpected blessing? Oh, no kidding, that was God. Then you take a step back and you ponder. I'll never forget one of the stories, and I probably won't do it justice. There was a church in Texas, matter of fact, a church that our church in Victorville has a connection to. They had a $500,000 ultimate total debt. Well, they were going to have to foreclose on the church, lose everything, shut the doors. And so a man, they sent out feelers to just solicit people's help from anybody who understood about keeping the importance of keeping a Bible preaching church open. Shared the fact that they were in debt and all this and that. Didn't tell the amount of debt. Just said that they were in extreme debt, that they were going to have to foreclose and lose everything and shut the doors of the church. This man walks in. He was the kind of like the secretary guy, the who handled for his boss. And he comes in, and he was expected because he said, my boss wants to donate some money to you to help you in your need. He hands him an envelope, and the guy does what most preachers do when you get an envelope. Whenever I preach and I get an envelope, I stick it in my coat pocket. Because I never look at it. I don't care what it is. It's up to God. And he said, tell your boss thank you. We're sure that no matter what amount he's given, we're really, it's a blessing from God. We're going to appreciate it. It'll be helpful. He said, you don't understand. My boss said I'm not to leave until you open his envelope. Keep in mind, they got over $500,000+ in debt. So he says, okay. He opens it up and there's a check for $1 million. They didn't tell anybody how much debt they owed. $1 million. Ponder that in your heart for a moment when God brings unexpected things to you. Or how about this? Have you ever looked back? Charles C.H. Spurgeon put it this way. While everybody else is, other Christians are talking about how blessed this and that, how good they are at this and good they are at that, and people who are singing their praises, not so much egotistically, but even the slightest bit. And he says, I have to fall, kneel humbly at the cross. And I say this to myself, I kneel humbly at the cross and marvel that I'm even saved at all. Because except for the grace of God, I could just be as lost and on my way to hell as anybody else who is. So ponder that how God allowed me to be born in a family of unsaved parents who divorced. But even though my mother put me on a church bus every Sunday to go to Sunday school, mostly because she just wanted to get me out of the house, she'll tell you that. If she remembers it, she's getting older now, she'll say, yeah. Just most of the parents in my generation will say, I sent my kids to church just to have a time of peace. Because we were, kids then were just rampant. We're just crazy, wild, you know, whatever. We didn't have things to, we made things to occupy our mind. And sometimes it was breaking things in the house. Because we play games. So even though my mom and dad didn't know Jesus, they made sure that I was on a Sunday school bus. They made sure that I was in a Bible camp every summer. They made sure that, and then my mom got saved, and then I get saved. Amen. Ponder that, how God works. Amen. And the special blessings, and the personal application to pondering the visit of the shepherds is, do we see others as burdens or inconveniences, or do we see them as potential blessings? Lord, what would you do if sometimes when you get asked for, I catch myself, I'll be transparent with you. Sometimes when someone comes up to me and says, hey, could you spare a couple of dollars? And I've said, no, I don't have any cash on me. Because I looked at it as an inconvenience. To my shame. Then there are times when I'm thankful to God, and I'm going to share this story because not because I want anybody to say, wow, what a great guy I am. January, about a year ago, up in the high desert, you know it's probably colder. It was probably freezing temp. It was like 32. And I had a t-shirt on under, I had a long sleeve thermal shirt on. That's all I had. Because I like the cold. It could be like 5 below 0, and I'd like it. I walked in, I saw this guy who had a t-shirt on in 32-degree weather. And he didn't have much, and so I went in there, and I felt God saying, David, go get him, buy him. I don't ever give money if I don't have to. I'll go and I'll buy him a sandwich, I'll buy him something to drink, because I don't want them to blow their money on stuff that, if they really are hungry, that's their most need. So I bought him a sandwich and a meal thing from the deli there. And I gave it to him, and he said, he was very appreciative, and he said, thank you. And as I'm walking back, I'm thinking, looking at this guy with a tank top shirt on in 32-degree weather, and I saw nothing else. I get to my car. God says, stop right there. He said, you know, the cold doesn't bother you as much. He said, you're going home to a warm house. And I felt, this is exactly what I thought in my head. Okay, I took my shirt off. And I didn't care about what people thought of me walking. I had no top on now. And it was 32 degrees out. So here, you need this more than I do. And I gave him a track. And I told him, and it's only because of God that I can give you this gift. I wanted him to know. I didn't want him to say, whoa, boy, how lucky was that? No, how blessed you were that God spoke to me. And then I listened and heard his voice. And I'll close with this. Our lives are full of treasured memories of family, friends, holidays. Seems that most of our memories are of Christmases. Those are the best of memories, it seems like. And we often ponder or reminisce fully, not abbreviatedly, about them regularly. While it's good to look to the future, let us never forget the place and the appropriate value of our past. For it is our past that brings us to our present. The adults I know already know this. Young people, dig into the past of this nation. Dig into the past of your parents and your grandparents so you can find out what their memories are. I wish that my grandmother was still alive today so I literally could sit down because I was in the Marine Corps and I never got to get home when she died. But to sit her down, or any older person, I guarantee you, most of the people that are 75 and 80 years old, even if they're strangers to you, if you sat down with them and said, would you please tell me about the good old days? I don't think there's a single one that wouldn't share some good old days with you. Oh, how I have a variety of precious memories of Christmases long ago. But the one constant in every precious memory is the gift that God gave to this world. The Lamb of God, the boy child Jesus, who was born for the express and sole purpose of dying. Amen. Ponder that. The Son of God puts on human flesh just so he can experience death so that we can have life. Heavenly Father, thank you for the attentiveness of the hearers. It's always always happens here that never a single person is not being appreciative to the word of God being preached. And regardless of the sound of the person's voice, it's the word of God. I pray that during this invitation, dear God, if there's someone here that's never asked God for the gift of salvation, that they would cry out to Jesus. And if the people here that are saved, Lord, that they would ponder that one day that you gave them the most precious of all gifts, salvation. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So let's all stand. We'll turn to 491 for our invitation. If God's spoken to you today, feel free to come on forward.
Thank you.
So Wednesday, I believe we're having a special, we're having a service for Brother Arlen. And I believe that's at 7:30. Can anybody confirm the time for Wednesday? What time on Wednesday? Oh, it's other program. Okay. And the service starts at 7:30 for Brother Arlen. The viewing's at 7:30. So that'll be Wednesday. And then if I still need to get pictures of all the members, so anybody who is not in the directory, meet me up front and we'll get all that taken care of today. So, Brother Romel, would you lead us in prayer, please?